I'd like to call to order the Transportation and Transit Policy and Oversight Division for today, March 27th. Members, we're still waiting for a quorum, and what I would like to do is that we start our testimony because we have a tight agenda and not a lot of time. Many members have to leave after noon, shortly after 12 o'clock, so it's my intention that we spend about 15 minutes per average per bill. If we can keep to that, members, then we can conclude our meeting shortly after or around 12 noon. So with that, I'd like to welcome Representative Swales to the committee, and we're going to go a little out of order because Representative Swales is here, and I know that she's also shuttling between committees as well today. So we'll start today with item number 5, the Commercial Driver's License and Record Keeping Bill, House File 1088. Welcome, Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kind of like Mr. and Mrs. Chair, we always sat on the back row together last year in the House chamber, and I was always tidying up his desk and doing all these kind of little things. He was buying me popcorn. It was very sweet.
Once an AP English teacher, always.
Mr. Chair, House File 1088 is a federal compliance bill, and
Before we do that, I'm sorry, Representative Swales. Do you want to move your bill, and we'll hold it over for possible inclusion in the later bill that we're going to do today, the transportation omnibus bill?
I believe that's the.
Okay, thank you. So the motion is that we will lay this over for possible inclusion.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is a federal compliance bill, and Director McCormick is here, and she will explain why it's necessary.
Okay, we'll take him.
Good morning,
welcome back to the committee, Ms. McCormick.
Thank you. For the record, Pat McCormick, the Director of Driver and Vehicle Services in the Department of Public Safety. And we have this presented this bill, and Representative Swales was fortunate enough to have Representative Swales agree to sponsor it. It's a bill that we really need passed because we have been cited in two different audits by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration that our current statutes aren't in compliance with motor carrier regulations. And the concern that we're bringing forward has to do with masking, and as all of you know, I bring this issue up probably once a year in some form or fashion, that federal law requires that we cannot take any driving-related violations off of the driving record. It's forbidden under the motor carrier safety regulations that we cannot mask those violations for commercial drivers and operators of commercial vehicles. And so we've been cited in two different audits. The Federal Motor Carrier Administration, because of the fact that they provide funding to the state in order to issue commercial driver's licenses, comes to audit our division every 3 years. And in two of the last two audits that were done, in both cases, we were cited first in 2002 that we did not have minimum standards in place for compliance because we were allowing the deferring of imposition of judgment, or we were allowing expungements so that information wouldn't be put on the driving record. In 2007, it was cited again that we needed to conform with the requirements that have been established, that we cannot allow expungement or continuances of dismissal of violations. And so we are requesting that this bill move forward, and the reason would be so that we can come into compliance with federal regulations before they come to do our next audit, which will be next year.
Thank you, Ms. McCormick. Are there any questions of Ms. McCormick? Thank you. Are there any questions of the office? All right. Well, with that, Representative Swales renews her motion that House File 1088 be held over for possible inclusion in the transportation policy on this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr.
And I do see Representative Mullery here. Maybe we can revert to item number four, and then we'll take your second bill after that, Representative Swales. Representative Mullery, it's great to see you. Welcome. Normally we send bills to you.
Right.
So, but it's good to have you here. Members, this is important. This is since it relates to DWI and traffic safety and automobile devices, we wanted to just give this bill the old transportation policy stamp of approval. So, I will move that House File 525 be recommended to pass and be placed on the general register.
Thank you.
So thank you and welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this bill, as you probably remember from last year, was a pilot project just in Hennepin County, and I think it was Beltrami. And now we're trying to make the project statewide. There's no fiscal impact. It's paid for by the federal funds. And I know from being on the Civil Criminal Justice Coordinating Committee, in Hennepin County, the judge who handles the alcohol offenses, alcoholic driving offenses there, said they've had a tremendous response to this. It's almost proven effective, and I think there's only, I believe it was two failures out of 80 or something like that. It's had a great record so far. They just wish that they could get a lot more people into it, and we have Gene Ryan from the department here to explain more about it this morning.
Good morning. My name is Gene Ryan from the Minnesota Office of Traffic Safety within the Department of Public Safety. For the last 2 years, I've been managing the ignition interlock pilot program that is in place in Hennepin and Beltrami County. There has been a lot of requests from other counties to implement the pilot program, and this law would allow for that to happen. If you have any questions regarding the ignition interlock pilot program, I'd be happy to answer them.
Representative McFarland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this would be a voluntary buy-in on doing this project?
Yes. Mr. Chair, yes, it would be a pilot program. Excuse me, it's a pilot program, but it is a voluntary program for people to participate. It allows them to receive their driver's license back earlier if they choose to put an ignition interlock on their vehicle.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the testifier, you know, the results of what's been currently going on in Hennepin and Beltrami counties, just a brief review of that.
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes, in Hennepin County they have about 75 participants, and in Beltrami County they have about 3 is all that have actually volunteered to participate in the program. It's been extremely effective that when people that have it installed on their vehicle, they have, if they've tried to start their vehicle and they have been drinking, it has stopped them from starting that vehicle. There hasn't been a lot of failed tests. There hasn't been a lot of people actually trying to start their vehicle with the device on there that after they've been drinking. I guess I'm not sure what other information you'd like to know about the program, but the positive thing that we've responses that we've had about it is for those people that have jobs and they want to get a limited license to get to and from their job, it does provide that opportunity for them to get a limited license, but it still instills public safety on the roadway. So I think it's really a win-win for everyone involved on the public safety side of it, as well as the participant that chooses to get their license back. We have had a little bit of concern about some of the costs involved. It is currently the initially, there was one service provider that it cost $125 a month for a person to participate in the program. It is paid by the participant. There has been recently another company that's come in, and they're come in with a price of $70 a month. So we're pretty happy to see that reduction.
And we're kind of hoping with more of an opportunity for more of a supply and demand situation, there will be a reduction in the cost.
Yes, a follow-up for Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick follow-up. Those 80 or so participants, what would be the potential number of participants in those counties?
In Hennepin County? In Hennepin County alone, there's 7,500 DWI arrests per year. Now, 40% of them, so I'm going to have to do the math there real quickly. Somebody else do the math, please. So there's 40% of them that will recidivate. So, and the pilot was for repeat DWI offenders. So there, if you do the math, that is the quantity of people that were eligible to participate. Now keep in mind, too, that the revocation time period for a second-time DWI offender is pretty short. So the carrot to get onto the system is not really there. I mean, when you're only losing your license for a 90-day period, you're not just likely to want to, or a six-month period, you would not, your desire to get it, pay that fee for an ignition or lock device is not huge.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hey, is there any further discussion? Is there anyone in the public who would like to testify either in favor or in opposition to House File 525? Do any final comments, Representative Miller?
Mr. Chair, no. I actually was at a national conference on driving offenses about 10 years ago and found out about this, and I was trying ever since then to get it going, and finally last year the department really got into it, and I think it's working out exactly as we thought it was going to work. Great.
Well, thank you to you and to the department. Well, hearing no further discussion, I will renew my motion that House File 525 be recommended to pass and be placed on the general register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, the motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Mullery. We'll now revert back to agenda item 6, House File 1856, Representative Swales. And we'll have one more bill after that, Representative Scott, and then we'll get into the omnibus bill after that. So while Representative Swales is coming to the testifying area, we will move our minutes for the day for March 25th. And Representative Rosenthal moves the minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. And now we are back to House File 1856, Representative Swales.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would.
By the way, hang on. I'll recommend that this file 1856 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Finance Committee, Education, and then on to Education Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I take that. Did you move the bill?
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay.
So,
thank you. Nearly every session, the Minnesota Association for Pupil Transportation, in consultation with Minnesota School Bus Operators Association, the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, and the Minnesota Department of Education, prepares a bill that aims to promote greater clarity in Minnesota's school transportation system by updating statutes relating to this subject, putting Minnesota in compliance with federal school bus standards, and revising Minnesota law to allow more accurate reporting of costs related to student transportation. House File 1856 is the result of this year's deliberations. It contains both education reporting and transportation practice provisions. In this committee, we will examine the transportation-related provisions of the bill, most of which relate to vehicle standards. The end goal of this legislation is to ensure the continuance of high level of pupil transportation safety while also giving school districts options in meeting this extremely important goal. I am joined today by Brad Lundell, lobbyist for the Minnesota Association for Pupil Transportation, and David Peterson, that organization's legislative chair. Mr. Peterson is an employee of the St. Paul School District and works in the district's transportation offices. He has been active on a number of state and national committees dealing with transportation.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Peterson.
Chairman, my team members of the committee, my name is Brad Lundell. I'm the executive director of the Minnesota, I'm the legislative liaison for the Minnesota Association for People Transportation. I'm joined by Dave Peterson today. We'll be talking about the transportation provisions in House File 1856. There's also some information that I'm distributing or having distributed to help clarify some of the things we'll be talking about in terms of the school bus waste provision that's contained in the bill. Section 2 is a transportation provision, and it talks about the, it clarifies language as it deals with the Type 3 vehicle. And Representative Ward is carrying a different Type 3 vehicle bill that deals simply with that method of school transportation. But this just cleans up some definitional language, makes streamlined language in regard to that issue. Section 3 on page 7 is an education provision that calls for changes in cost reporting, and that will be, we'll have to be dealing with the Department of Education as we move through on that. Sections 4 and 5 are also education sections. They are in the House Education Policy Bill. They deal with care and treatment, or clarify the care and treatment transportation responsibilities and cost reporting for that. Section 6 is a section we find very important to this bill in terms of transportation issues, in that it adds the multi-function school activity bus, which is allowed under federal law. It creates a provision in Minnesota law to allow people without a school bus endorsement to drive those vehicles, similar to the program that is used to drive the Type A1 vehicles currently. Again, I can probably turn to Mr. Peterson and probably give you some better definition or better clarity on that issue.
Now,
the real Mr. Peterson.
Welcome to the committee.
Thanks, Chairman, members of the committee. My name is David Peterson. I'm communications officer with the Minnesota Association of School Transportation. And the multi-function school activity bus is a bus that's constructed exactly like a school bus with a couple possible differences. One, it could be painted a different color, and two, it does not have the stop arm and eight-way system. The federal government came up with this type of vehicle to encourage students to be removed from vans and cars into a safer constructed vehicle in the event of an accident. So the federal government promoted the multi-function school activity bus as a means for student safety. In Minnesota, we have a program where a small bus, a Type A1 bus that looks like a van with a school bus body on the back, less than 16 passengers can be driven without a school bus endorsement as long as a number of other requirements are met. And we would like to have the those requirements for driving a Type A1 bus without a school bus endorsement be used for the multifunctional school activity bus program. Currently, we're aware of about half a dozen districts that use the Type A1 school bus without school bus endorsement. And we're, through survey, aware of several dozen districts that would like to use the multifunctional school activity bus on the same basis. And the program for the Type A1 bus is only for students on field trips. It's not available for student transportation in the school bus to and from school. For student from school transportation, a school bus endorsement is still required. I think I turn it back to Brad and let him continue from this point.
Yeah, and about that, the program of driving without the school bus endorsement, that program was created within the last decade, but it was about 10 years ago a pilot project was created to allow that. And then after the successful completion of the pilot project, the bill was made statewide. We have not heard any problems with the program. As Mr. Peterson pointed out, of 340 school districts, not many are using it. More will probably be using it as we move away from vans. As you can see in the handouts that I showed, the Type A1 school bus and the multifunction school activity bus, those are the types of vehicles that we are talking about. They are used for activities. They cannot be used for to and from school. If you're going to do to and from school, you have to have a school bus endorsement. This is the tennis coach, the cross-country coach, the golf coach, the debate team, a field trip, whatever that might be. It's a point to destination with no stops for letting students on or off. The program, the text of the program is found in, and it's not in the bill because it's not referenced, but in the handout I've done here from Minnesota Statutes 171.02, talks about the training and the limitations for these vehicles that exist under current law. So aren't any questions, or if you want to, whatever the wish of the committee, if you want to deal with questions now or wait till the end, it's certainly fine with us.
Well, is the Representative Swales, is your testimony in support of the bill completed?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then at this point, I would.
There's some other sections that we need to go through.
Oh, okay. All right. Why don't you, members, we'll complete the testimony in support or in opposition to the bill, and then we can take some questions. If you have questions of this panel, we'll wait till you're gone through the entire bill.
Okay. Section 7 is a cleanup of a. Oh, wait. Before that, there is some concern. I believe the DPS may want to get up later and talk about on page 13, lines 16 and 17, that may be redundant to language that is already in another section of law. Section 7 is cleanup language. Section 8 is also cleanup language. Section 9 is an adopting of national standards. Section 10 deals with an issue of buses constructed with tailpipes on the right as opposed to the left, and that's a national standards issue as well. Section 11 is transportation, is I think Section 11, 12, 13, 14. Are all cleanup and to make to change to add the multifunction school activity bus in section 15, and in section 16 that's also cleanup and clarification. Section 17, there's a difference now is that and we may need to change some language in the page 19, section 17 to 25, it may seem redundant because there's a may receive at least 8 hours of school bus training. We're saying that in this is that the school district, non-public schools, and private contractors shall provide in-service training to annual to each school bus driver. That's not in conflict to the earlier paragraph, but there may be need for some clarification there. Section 18 allows, adds another 15 days instead of the one calendar year for renewing or doing the license verification, puts an extra 15 days in to kind of allow some leeway for school districts. The other issue that was inherent in the school bus that's in the section talking about the multifunction school activity bus is that currently there's a weight limitation at 10,000 pounds for the type A and by extension the multifunction school activity bus for driving without a school bus endorsement. Vehicles below 10,000 pounds are becoming extremely rare as the body weights are getting heavier for greater reinforcement and the engines are also getting heavier using the diesel engine as opposed to the gasoline engine. National standards allows the type A1 and by extension the multifunction school activity bus to go up to 14,500 pounds, and that is the other difference here. Not only putting those things into law, the multifunction school activity bus, but also raising the weight. Again, with it's governed by the number of passengers you carry and not the weight of the vehicle. In this case, there's an upper limit on the weight of 14,500, but the number of passengers was 15 when it was less than 10,000 pounds and remains 15 when it goes up to 14,500.
Thank you, Mr. Lundell. Are there any questions of either Mr. Lundell or Mr. Peterson? I actually have one. Just a clarification on page 19, lines 26 and 27. This is in section 17 under training. currently do we have many private contractors or non-public school trainers, as it were, involved in this program, or is this, why is this new language in the bill?
That's a cleanup language for something that is already under current law. Currently, bus providers are required to provide annual training to all their bus drivers. And the current law is actually listed down below in section line 19.29 through line 19.31. So just the clarification, moving the current law requirements to a different section for clarity.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone who would like to testify in opposition to House File 1856? Are there any further discussion from the committee? Representative Welty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Dwells, last year when we passed the, or I don't know if it's 2 years ago, I think it was last year when we passed the school bus legislation, it ended up with an unintended consequence. I know my local school district came to me and said that because of the change in the requirements for seat cushions, which I see there's a change here that we're going to federal standards, it ended up costing them $15,000 to $16,000 in 1 year because of the inspection that was done on the buses. And so, Representative Swales, first of all, can you tell me, has the Minnesota School Board Association weighed in on this, and are they in support of this legislation?
Representative Swales.
Representative Welty, I will let Mr. Lundell respond to that.
Mr. Lundell.
Mr. Chair, Representative Welty, I know the School Board Association is aware of the bill, and we've talked to them about that. They haven't voiced any concerns one way or the other. I can run upstairs and bring somebody down here. They're up in room 10.
Representative Welty.
Thank you. That won't be necessary right now. So another question. Has a fiscal note been prepared for this bill?
Mr. Chair, Representative Welty, there was none requested, and I don't believe that there is no increase of state revenue expenditure, through this.
Representative Welty, and this bill is going to education finance, so if there is going to be a fiscal impact, I imagine it would be discussed there.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Swales, I would strongly suggest that a fiscal note is requested and that they check in with the local school district to find out if this is going to have any unintended consequences whatsoever. It was just one school district that told me it resulted in a $15,000 to $16,000 increase. I see that there's a change in that section of the statute. I just want to make sure that whatever school bus legislation that we roll out this year does not have any unintended costs.
Maybe I'll ask the viewers if fiscal analysts have been discussing this. Is there a buzz among the fiscal analysts about this bill? Is a fiscal note going to be prepared?
Yeah. Mr. Chair and members, a fiscal note hasn't been requested on the bill. I did talk with the State Patrol before the meeting, and they indicated they didn't have a cost associated with it, but I'm not sure on the education side.
Okay. Well, so we don't clearly on the transportation end of things, but clearly there may be some implications, as Representative Welty suggested, on the education front. So the
Mr. Chair,
probably Mr. Strom or somebody would be engaged.
I will be checking in with the fiscal analysts on the education committee.
Okay. Is there any further discussion of House File 1856? I understand there's no opposition in the audience in terms of testifiers. So, with that, I renew the motion that House File 1856 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Finance Committee, with then further recommendation to go on to the Education Finance Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye. All opposed? The motion prevails, and we have two more bills left, one more non-omnibus bill, and that's Representative Scott.
Chairman.
I heard him, Mr. Chairman. I didn't know where it was coming from.
Oh, yes. Okay. Chairman, I'd like to move House File 1421.
Okay. And the motion will be to place this on the general register.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move House File 1421 to be passed and be referred to the general registry.
Thank you. Welcome back, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. I actually have a delete all amendment. I don't know if all the members got that or not.
The DE1?
Yes.
I believe we have it.
Okay, wonderful.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the DE1 amendment to put the bill in the shape the author would like.
Representative Zellers moves the DE1 amendment. All those in favor signify. Is there discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. We have House File 1421 now in the shape that the author would like to discuss it in. So you can proceed, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have reached an agreement. We have everybody on board. We have MnDOT, we have cities, we have counties, we have townships, we have law enforcement, and they're all very happy with the way this amendment presents. And so I'd like to just move it to the general register.
Thank you. President Scott, thank you for your hard work on that. And, it's something that we all should learn from you, that it's always good to move things along with consensus. And so appreciate that very much. Is there any discussion of the House File 1421 as amended? Is there any, would you like any you have testifiers, but I think they're fine. Okay, well, members, just a reminder that we did have a hearing on this earlier, so I think we've vetted the issues. So is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify in opposition to House File 1421? Okay. And
Mr. Chairman, I'll renew my motion that House File 1421 as amended be passed and referred to the general register.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. So we are actually, we got a little bit of a tailwind, members. I don't know, I know that the omnibus bill isn't terribly controversial. We do have one amendment. I want to make sure that those who, the author of that amendment has the people he'd like in the room. Otherwise, we can take a quick recess. Okay. Members, we will recess until 11:30, at which time we will take up the House File 928, which is the Omnibus Transportation Policy Bill. We have one amendment to that bill, and that is, and I will just say, in the interest of disclosure, that is Representative Erdahl's amendment to add language related to the Dimler speed discussion. We've heard that, so we can have a short conversation about that, and then we'll take a vote. So that's what we'll do at 11:30. We are in recess. We have two procedural motions on other bills before we do our last bit of business today. Members, House File 1164 was a bill that we heard on Wednesday. That was Representative Liebling's bill on driver's license suspension, correct? Cumulative driver's license suspension. And we were waiting on a fiscal note for that. Otherwise, we were going to include it in the bill today. I do not feel comfortable including it in the bill today because we have a possible fiscal implication. So I would like to move that bill to the Transportation Finance Committee at this point. Is there any discussion or objection to that? So my motion will be that we move House File 1164 to the Finance Committee. Recommended referral to the Transportation Finance Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion carries. And then we've had a request from the author of House File 1191, Representative Fortman. This was a bill that we held over for possible inclusion. It's the Ralph Loan Flexibility. I do not believe there was any opposition or controversy to that bill, Representative Fortman. So she would like us to refer that to the general register. Is there any discussion? So I will renew my motion to send House File 1191 to the General Register. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion carries. And now I will hand over the gavel to Representative Hortman, and we will have the Transportation Omnibus Bill.
Mr. Chair, I presume that you would move that House File 928 be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register?
Well, normally that would be the motion, Madam Chair, but we have one item, Representative Dabney's bill, we understand has a very small fiscal note, so I think we're going to have to take care of that in finance before we can send it on.
So Representative Hornstein moves that House File 928 be recommended to pass and be sent to the Transportation Finance Committee.
That's correct.
To your bill, Representative Hornstein.
Okay. Members, this is a small omnibus policy bill. We wanted to package a few bills together that we heard over the last week. This will be able to line up with the Senate a little better and keep some options open for members as well who have some transportation ideas. But we really wanted to keep this small and limited, and that's why we included items that really had no controversy attached to them. So the first section is House File 570. I think that was one of the first bills we heard this year, Representative Champion's bill on rest stop prohibition. Representative Dabney's bill is in Section 2 relating to intersection gridlock, and that's the one that has a small fiscal note attached to it. We may be able to address that with a later effective date, but I need to talk to the author about that. We just heard and passed without much discussion and controversy earlier this morning Representative Swales' bill, House File 1088, and that was related to holder driving records. We heard Representative Hortman's House File 1191, the Ralph Loan Flexibility, and then we heard Representative Nelson's Commuter Rail Committee Membership small bill as well. So this, members, could be a world record small transportation omnibus bill. You'll recall, I think this bill has been in triple digits in the past. It's been 100 pages. And with that, I would ask for any questions or conversation about it.
Representative Holder. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Chair Hornstein, there was some discussion about the commuter rail group about either adding the rail, and one other idea was making them ex officio, given everybody else on the committee was actually had money and, you know, was elected officials. And was there any further discussion on that issue, or
Representative Hornstein?
Madam Chair, Representative Holberg, I do recall that you had made a very specific request of Representative Nelson to potentially include someone, I believe, from the rail freight industry on that. And I am not aware of further conversation. I don't know if Mr. Apis or anyone is here, but...
And certainly that could be something that could happen in another committee.
Yeah.
I just didn't know if it had been rejected as an option or was, hadn't been addressed.
No. Madam Chair, Representative Holberg, it wasn't addressed. I remember very specifically the conversation, your point about that. And so Representative Nelson is on the Transportation Finance Committee, and whether this can be included or not, I would encourage him to act one way or the other definitively in that committee.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair, did you want to move your DE1 amendment that
contains the language
you described?
House File 928, the DE1 amendment. I wanted to actually address something in this, but I'll move that.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Members, you know, House File 928 originally was a bill that we heard related to Metropolitan Council operators being prohibited from using cell phones and wireless devices while driving. That was my bill. Representative Holberg had raised some points in that hearing, which I think are well taken, and we're going to go back to the drawing board on that. Her point was essentially you're just looking at one group of drivers, and you know, we have many other public transit systems in the region, and even, I would argue, school bus drivers, et cetera. So we're going to take a look at that over the next year, and it's very likely we'll come back next year with perhaps a different version of that bill, but it'd be premature, I think, at this point to move that. So House File 928 exists now, but as the transportation omnibus policy bill and not a bill related to Metropolitan Council operators and cell phones. So that's the DE1 amendment.
Members, discussion to the bill. Representative Mazin?
I just had one question when I was looking at the, Madam Chair, Representative Hornstein, when subdivision 2 of that intersection gridlock.
Yes.
See, if you do the literal translation where you can't, the vehicle cannot enter an intersection until it knows that it's going to be able to completely get through the intersection without impeding or blocking, that means literally you'd have to be stopped at the intersection. That other car would have to be one vehicle into the across the way before you'd be able to go. And I see great problems with that. This is trying to do something about gridlock, but I'm thinking that is going to make traffic flow even slower. Much slower.
Oh. Representative Hornstein?
Madam Chair, Representative Mason, I know that we had some discussion about this with Representative Dabney. Some diagrams were presented. I don't see an issue with this, but I certainly would invite discussion at the next committee. It's still going to be within our purview as transportation committee members to take a look at this. I would just encourage us to look at it further. Perhaps, I don't know if there's anyone from MnDOT or any law enforcement expert here that can address your question, but I think I'm comfortable with the language.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mason,
I
wasn't here when we discussed the bill, but to me that's perfectly logical. If somebody's been trapped in many a downtown Minneapolis traffic jam, if people just observed this simple rule, it would make getting out of town after a Vikings game a lot easier. Maybe we can discuss it further when the bill's in Transportation Finance and have the author present to explain.
Yeah, and in the meantime, Madam Chair, Representative Dabney's the author, and I'd encourage maybe people to contact him as well.
Any other discussion to the House File 928 as amended? Representative Erdahl?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to offer the A1 amendment.
Mm-hmm. Representative Erdahl would like to offer the A1 amendment. Do members have the A1 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this is the expansion of the Dimler Amendment that we did go over for about an hour on Monday night. And I think you are mostly well informed on the issue. I don't intend on belaboring this very much more. Hopefully no one else will either. Let me just summarize a little bit. That this bill basically expands the amendment, or it goes to roads posted at 60 miles an hour. Currently, they are posted at 55. You get up to 65 without being reported. This would go from 60 to 70, basically covering that speed between 65 and 70. My contention is that by doing this, it would not change driving behavior. It would not change speed or accidents. It would change one thing, how speeding is recorded, and thus how much insurance companies charge on their premiums. I think that this is a common sense amendment. Again, once again, it received very strong support and two votes on the House floor. And many of you have voted for it, and some have voted against it in the past. And I ask that you consider today. And let's bring on the opposition, then I'll summarize, and then we can leave.
Representative Hornstein, did you want to speak to the A1 amendment?
Madam Chair and members, this is something that I know many of our members on a bipartisan basis do like, but there's many that also have strong opposition to it, and certainly our agencies do as well. So we heard the bill, I think, for the first time in a long time, if ever, in the House of Representatives, and I'm pleased with that. And and if the committee so chooses to add this, I mean, that will be something that is not without precedent. But I would, I know we've heard from law enforcement, if they want to weigh in again, they can. But this really comes down to an issue where I think I would summarize the opposition from DPS as being concerned with encouraging speeding and aggressive driving. That was, I guess, how I would summarize their opposition. And so that's one of the reasons I oppose it. But, I give this committee maximum latitude and flexibility to act as how they see in terms of their perspective on the issue.
Mr. Chair and members, I see the Department of Public Safety and MnDOT are here. I know we had a very robust discussion with a lot of testimony. If anybody feels a need to have more information presented before we vote, we certainly could do that. Or if MnDOT or DPS feel very strongly, they'd like to register a brief comment. But since we've discussed it thoroughly, I don't think we need to repeat that. Mr. Arsenal, go ahead and introduce yourself for the tape.
Yes, Madam Chair. My name is Bernie Arsenal. I'm the Director for the Policy, Safety, and Strategic Initiatives Division for MnDOT, and I do not want to belabor this discussion, but I did want to bring a little bit of background that might be helpful that I don't think was covered the other night, and that is the genesis of DIMLR. DIMLR really came about when we went through that process of reducing speed limits, and some argued artificially reducing speed limits from what we had was 60 and 65 mile an hour speed limits back to 55. And those speed limits were attached to those roads because of the design characteristics of those roads. And we designed them for 60 and 65 miles an hour. And so there was some rationale to moving and providing this bit of support or whatever for folks that were driving that 10 miles an hour over. But when we extend this to 70 miles an hour, no longer can we make that connection or that understanding. I mean, we set speed limits based on what people feel comfortable at. On those roads where they're 55 predominantly and very uniformly, the 85th percentile speed is about 65 miles an hour, about 64 and a half. And then furthermore, I just reiterate our comments that this does go in direct opposition to our Towards Zero Death initiative and the incredible progress we've made over the last 5 years.
Thank you, Mr. Arsenal.
And Madam Chair, members, and although I oppose this amendment, I do want to express my appreciation to Representative Erdahl, who's just addressed the potentially polarizing and divisive issue, with good humor and always in a spirit of cooperation and civility. And so I do really appreciate that, Representative Erdahl.
And I think somebody from the Department of Public Safety would like to make a brief comment.
Madam Chair, members, you heard me testify last night or the other night, so I won't go into that detail. Michelle Tuckner, State Patrol. The only other comment I wanted to make after our testimony the other evening is I believe Representative Erdahl felt that it would reduce the number of court trials because people would simply plead guilty. I would argue that it would actually increase the number of court trials because more people would attempt to go to court to get it pled down to a Erdahl instead of a dinner.
Representative Hornstein, Representative Erdahl, I mean,
I know that Representative Erdahl is such a great historian, and so this will be historical.
Mr. Chair, Representative Erdahl, now the first inclination I've had to vote for the amendment was when she just named it after you. I think we could find something else in statute to name after you if your amendment should happen to not be successful. Representative Erdahl.
Thanks, Madam Chair. For you, we could call it the Hortman.
I like Erdahl better.
Actually,
I like
the
pleading to an Erdahl.
We go back to the Heidjurken. I mean, just very briefly, in talking with Roger Letting, the former colonel of the State Patrol, with Judge Quinn, with Chuck Dimler himself, all their contentions are that it's not speed, it's distraction and drinking that cause deaths and accidents. Just a couple of quick points, and I'll finish up once again. From the National, the Department, U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Highway Administration, the data clearly shows that raising the posted speed limits did not increase speeds and accidents, and also raising speed limits by 5, 10, or 15 miles an hour at the rural and urban sites had a minor effect on vehicle speeds. In other words, an increase in the posted speed limit did not create a corresponding increase in vehicle speed. So with that, I conclude. Thank you.
Members, are we ready to vote?
Sure we are.
All those in favor of the Erdahl Amendment, the A1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Division has been requested. A show of hands of those who support the amendment. And a show of hands of those who oppose the amendment. The motion carries. The amendment is adopted. I believe the vote was 8-6. Members, we're just going to take a quick count of how many members we have in the room because we think perhaps somebody voted twice.
No, we're fine. We're fine.
We have the right number of members and the right number of votes. All right, but the Erdahl Amendment was
adopted.
I think
we need to go to the Supreme Court or something.
Representative Hornstein, would you like to renew your motion that House File 928, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to Finance with the recommendation that it be referred to Transportation Finance?
Yes.
Any further discussion to be amended, though? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The bill is passed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. And so the bill, as amended, will move forward.
And we're adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.